with his poem, Westward the Course of Empire Makes Its Way. Now, slightly more adolescent versions of the California utopia are found in the Beach Boys' Surfer Girl, California Girls, and Fun, Fun, Fun from the early 60s. Slightly less adolescent are the encomiums of praise that one reads about the Silicon Valley and the promises of modern technology. Most recent issue of Forbes ASAP is a really, really stimulating issue, and I recommend that you buy their essays of all sorts and varieties on the nature of technology and the theme of convergence. Now, in Stephen Schwartz's recent book, From West to East, California and the Making of the American Mind, he points out that California has been able to reverse that tide of history a little bit. But his title emphasizes the exports of California to the larger culture. The title for this program was in reaction to this and emphasizes the American spirit rather than the American mind. Spirit is much more amorphous, and it is something formed and not easily made or manufactured. Now, as a transplanted Southerner, I guess I've always shared been distrustful of the Northeast as the land of notions, that is, the world of ideological abstractions. But we don't know what they would have thought about California as the land of lotions. When I found out that the babes of Baywatch used artificial coloring for their tans and used 15-strength suntan lotion on the set, then I knew that appearance was not reality. But some consideration, I think, must also be given to the fact that California imports are usually important for what they export later on. Many foreign intellectuals and artists migrated to California in the 30s and 40s. California, to use an older expression, is nuttier than a fruitcake. Among its imports of fruits and nuts were the British invasion, W.H. Auden, Christopher Isherwood, Aldous Huxley, and Gerald Hurd, to whom I shall return later. If you're interested in Gerald Hurd, we're going to hear a little bit more about that this morning. I have a record on Pacifica label that he recorded back in the 1950s out there on the tables, plus a number of copies of Faith and Freedom, which was the journal that which Ed was associated and I was in Gerald Hurd also. Now, a musical group who interacted with the above group were the composers Stravinsky, Schoenberg, Darius Milhaud, and others, who influenced not only classical music, but also the jazz worlds of Stan Kenton, Dave Brubeck, and the cool West Coast jazz. Jerry Mulligan, Lorenzo Almeida, Bud Shank, Shorty Rogers, Jimmy Giuffre. The influence of this classical music extended to the fact that Stan Kenton added the part of two French horns to his West Coast orchestra in 1956. Now, let me return. I'll come back to the French horns in just a minute. It's very important. But let me return to the lyrics of Natalie Merchant in San Andreas Fault. She extols rags to riches, jet-set life, but then judgment is not far behind. Quote, San Andreas Fault moved its fingers through the ground, earth divided, plates collided, such an awful sound. San Andreas Fault moved its fingers through the ground, terracotta shattered, and the walls came tumbling down. Now, it was Joshua that blew the trumpets, which brought the wall of Jericho down. Ed Opitz, on the other hand, blew the French horn and continues to blow the French horn in three orchestras and bands where he now lives in Orleans, Massachusetts. Orleans, Massachusetts. For a Louisiana citizen like myself, Orleans, Massachusetts sounds oxymoronic. Almost as much, perhaps, as Louisiana citizen or a humorless Stan Evans. Although Ed was not a native of California, Ed was involved as a friend and supporter of many aspects of the conservative classical liberal movement in California during the 1950s and 60s. When the theme of this meeting was germinating in my mind, the idea occurred to me that the importance of California culture is a bellwether to the nation as a whole. The word bellwether is chosen carefully since it means a, quote, male sheep who leads the flock, a person whom others follow blindly, end quote. The purpose of this meeting has been to reduce the blindness by opening the eyes of the conservative movement to both the good and the bad in the California experience. We wish to make our members and guests more discerning. Now, to bring this kind of language more up to date, let me use the New Age language of Rupert Sheldrake's morphic resonance. In a book by your fellow Californian Matthew Fox, The Cosmic Christ, author of another also intriguing title, On Becoming a Musical Mystical Bear, we don't know whether he played the French horn or not, he has Sheldrake opining that, quote, if rats in Sheffield learn a new trick, rats all around the world should be able to learn it quicker just because it has been learned there, end quote. Now, Fox was an ex-Catholic and, as I understand now, an ex-Anglican, thanks be to God. He has founded the University of Creation Spirituality and is currently co-director of the Naropa Institute in Oakland, California. Now, if none of this makes any sense to you, the Beach Boys already created a similar theory in 1966 with their song called Good Vibrations. Now, Ed has played a large role in preventing the blind from leading the blind, both as a congregational minister and as a person who followed Leonard Reed from California to the Foundation for Economic Education. He has been busy integrating economics and Christianity. Long before anyone else, and I mean long before anyone else, he was seeing the importance of the links between good economics and the realms of the spirit. His economic heroes have been the Austrian economists von Mises, Hayek, Rupke, and those influenced by them, Baldy Harper, Leonard Reed, at the Foundation for Economic Education. His cultural heroes have been Albert J. Nock and Rabelais. As secretary of the Nockian Society for many years, he established an ideal that I have tried to follow but never been able to do for the Philadelphia Society. Their motto was, no officers, no dues, no meetings. Even though we have not achieved the ideal, we can take comfort from another of Ed's favorites, G.K. Chesterton, who boldly asserted that if a thing is worth doing, it's worth doing badly. His spiritual heroes have been the likes of C.S. Lewis, who died on the same day as Kennedy's assassination, and also the same day that Aldous Huxley died. The latter brings back Ed's interest in Gerald Hurd, one of those mysterious figures in the conservative movement, both in California and the Midwest. He can be variously described, religious mystic, historian, novelist, or if you don't like him, religious eclectic, drug user, and Gnostic. Very complex figure. Louis Demlow, a mutual friend of Ed's and mine and a longtime supporter of the Philadelphia Society, who could not be with us today, was also a follower of Gerald Hurd. In a letter to me dated April 25, 1969, and copied to Ed Opitz and Norman Rehm, he explained, quote, I once attempted to get Gerald Hurd, Richard Weaver, and Ayn Rand, each of whom I knew personally at the time, to read each other's books. I do have a letter from Weaver about Ayn Rand's thinking, but I was never able to reach any other judgment. Now, that would be a consummation devoutly to be wished. And if you believe in universal salvation, they are probably in heaven right now battling out their differences. Now, Ed did a wonderful summary of Gerald Hurd's main themes back in 1958, I believe it was. And I had written to him in 1969 about this. I said, I enjoyed very much reading your synopsis of Gerald Hurd's philosophy. I'm glad that you attempted to do this rather than me. From reading Gerald Hurd, Eric Voegelin, Leo Strauss et al., I'm beginning to appreciate the experiential basis of man's finiteness, which implies an openness to transcendence with humility. The difficulty for me with Gerald is that he is, in fact, much more radical than all the rest in the spiritual demands that he makes upon you. The training for the life of growth is not exactly consistent with my persistent leanings to a Mencken-ian bourgeoisie-dom. And then I ask, Ed, is there a via media? I never received an answer to that question from Ed, but perhaps for very good reasons. It is now my pleasure to introduce David Keeson, who will share his memories with us. David is a real estate developer, a member of the Mont Pelerin Society, a longtime friend of the Philadelphia Society, and a bon vivant.